God is good. I hope you're encouraged. I would encourage you. Listen, I know that sometimes listening to services online or watching them online isn't the most fun or it's the best. But I encourage you, if you haven't watched our service from last night, I encourage you to watch it. The one from Corey. There's good things that are in that that the Lord has revealed to me, and there's more that He's revealing. You know, this is a time where of course there's opportunity for us to go a lot of ways, and the Lord has been dealing with me about having the right attitude. I guess my wife on Wednesday was dealt with that about having the right attitude and teaching on the Wednesday morning women/maybe men Bible study. Glory to God. But it's so important to think right in this time, amen. And we need to think about things the way God would think about them. And God is not defeated. And so God is not thinking defeat. And so Christians, we should not be thinking defeat. We should not be thinking defeated at all. If thoughts of defeat come, we know that it is not of God. We know it is of the devil. And we need to deal with those thoughts and cast them out in the name of Jesus. We need to deny them in the name of Jesus. They shall not have authority. They shall not have dominion over our lives. When we give heed, when we take heed to those kinds of thoughts or those kinds of worries, what we do is we open the door for the devil to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. And wreak havoc in the lives. Now, you know, as my wife was up here giving announcements this morning, you know, she talked about the church, and the church, God having a plan for the church, and He does. But you have to remember that you and I are all parts of the church. We make up the church. The church is the body of Christ, and you and I are the parts that make up that body. And so if God has a plan for the local church, He's got a plan for you. Now, we know He has a plan for you individually, but that plan is greater when we're connected to more. Amen? And so God always had a plan of creating a place to bring His people together and bring them together in one accord and one faith so that they could walk out the plans of God so they wouldn't be separated from from Him, so they wouldn't get in danger of being attacked by the devil. Praise the Lord, so they could be separated from all that. So just remember that as you congregate together, as you get online and you listen to services, as you connect your heart to the local church. Remember I said connect your heart to the local church. It's not enough that you show up. It's a matter of you connecting your heart to it, saying this is not just church. This is my church. This is the place that God has created to bring us together, to bring me together with the rest of my family, the other parts of the body. Amen? And, you know, God, he desires us to desire Him that way and to desire things that way. And God will move in a supernatural way on people who do so. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called Returning to the Supernatural. Glory to God. And, this is something that I have been, I just tell you, it's been stirring in me for so long. I mean, I just love how, you know, like at the beginning of the year, I was talking to somebody yesterday who I was telling him about how the Lord led me at the beginning of this year to have live stream. And he said to me, I know. He said, that's so weird because you of all people did not want to have live stream, because this is a person who had heard me speak about how I never wanted to do live stream. I had no interest in doing it myself. And so the Lord started dealing with me on that at the beginning of the year. And so we put that into practice. And I'll just be honest with you, it costs money to do so. And when we did so, you know, it wasn't maybe the best time to be spending money, but I knew that it was something that we needed to do. And so I followed the Spirit. Notice what I said there. It may not have been the best time naturally to spend the money, but I knew it was what we needed to do. And see, that's the same thing for your life. As we learn to follow God, you will learn to follow Him. Sometimes it won't make earthly sense to do it, but you'll know to do it and you'll do it. And now we see just in times like this, we are thankful that we have it because we get to stay connected with everybody. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it's so important to follow God. It's so important to learn God's ways. Hallelujah. But God has been dealing with me on this topic of what I'm preaching on today for quite some time. In fact, the word supernatural, I mean, not too long, maybe sometime last year, I preached a message. I may have been in Corey about God being a supernatural God and supernatural things. And at that same time, the same thing was stirring in me. And what keeps coming back to me is literally the word supernatural. And so I've been thinking about this word supernatural. Natural. So, of course, what I do, the first thing I do is go to the Word and say, okay, where does the Word say, what does it say in the Word about supernatural? And, you know, as I got into studying the Word this week about it, and as I was in it before, I was reminded of before, the word supernatural does not appear in Scripture. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, that this word we use so often to describe God is not even in Scripture. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I looked it up, and the next best place is that, and that's the Webster's Dictionary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so if you can't define it by the word, you go to Webster's and have them help you define it. And supernatural means of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe, especially of or relating to God or a God, demigod, spirit, or devil, departing from what is usual or normal, especially so as to appear to transcend the laws of nature. So supernatural literally means, in a basic dumbed down form, it means something bigger or beyond the natural. Amen? But I'm here to pose a question or pose a thought for you today, and that's that we need to be living in the supernatural because we are made up of the supernatural. We are not separate from the supernatural. When we say supernatural, we always think of things that are unobtainable. We think about ghosts or something like that. Maybe I'll see a ghost if I go looking. And so people have, you know, they have shows like Ghost Hunters, and they go searching for ghosts, but not everybody's guaranteed to see one. Amen. And so this is a supernatural thing. It's something that they can't naturally put their hands on. They can't naturally put their thoughts, but they hope to run in it. Now, ghosts aren't real. Just letting you know, if you've had experiences, which I have with those types of things, and when you study things out, you find out that it's not a real thing, but it's something completely different. It's more in the demonic realm. Amen. But there's still things that people are seeing at times. The same thing with UFOs. People are literally seeing UFOs at times. Well, does that mean that they are space aliens with three fingers and green skin? I doubt that very much. Praise the Lord. I think that it's something totally different, but there's more to that. We ain't preaching on that today. Glory to God. If you want, you can ask me later on and maybe I'll answer you. Praise the Lord. Or you could ask the pastor. Yeah, you could do that. We just happen to know when you could ask, amen? Hallelujah. In the, you know, I know she's talking about the faith fix. Yeah, praise the Lord. But anyway, glory to God. So we think of supernatural being something outside of the natural, something that we can't obtain, something that we don't necessarily interact with, something that we can't be part of. But, we even have, kids love it. Adults love it too. But, superheroes. And superheroes are some form of supernatural. Amen. You know, but the ones I always loved the most, the superheroes I always personally loved the most were the ones like kind of like Batman. And the reason I love Batman the most was because he wasn't supernatural. He was just a natural guy who learned certain things. Amen. He learned to tap into certain things. Now, I'm not promoting to go out and watch Batman. And so when I grew up on the Batman, where they throw up the pow and the zing and the zang and all that stuff like that in the screen, the Batman and Robin that of the 60s and 70s. I mean, I was not born in the 60s, praise the Lord, but I grew up with that Batman, amen? But I always loved the Batman that wasn't superpowers so much as it was a regular guy doing things that made him a superhero. And that kind of blessed me more. I always kind of liked that. But even later days, I liked when they explained how Batman, and why am I talking about Batman? Because I'm just going on something. I'm actually building on something here, amen? Believe me, glory to God, hallelujah. And if you don't like Batman, well, we love you anyways. Glory to God. I'm not promoting Batman, but I'm promoting an idea that the supernatural, glory to God, is something that isn't as supernatural as we think. It's not something that we're so separate from as we think it is. Now, just because the world, this, when they go out, they try, the scientists have figured out how to do all kinds of things. They figured out, back when I was graduating high school or was supposed to graduate high school, back in that time period, one of the big things right then was they cloned the first sheep. Does anyone remember Dolly? They cloned the first sheep, and the sheep lived for a minute, and then it died. And, of course, because they can't produce life. They can copy it to an extent, but they don't have that aspect, that other aspect. And this is the thing that scientists are always looking for, is they're out there searching the universe. Well, they come up with this theory and that theory, and those things are a lot of times they end up being truth or based in some kind of truth. But the truth, the thing is with it, is that it always comes back to a place where they can't figure it out. And that's because that place that they can't figure out is always in the supernatural, what we call the supernatural, which isn't really supernatural, it's just God. And we're going to see, amen, that God is very much part of the supernatural. Now, I know that's a big introduction, glory to God, but there's a lot to be said here. Supernatural has got to become our natural. And as the people of God, we have to learn that supernatural has to become an everyday thing for us. It's supernatural is not something that we don't interact with or should be interact with, or something that is kind of a side thing, but it should be an everyday part of our life. The reason that Jesus was so effective is because he lived in the supernatural while being in the natural. Praise the Lord. And before we get, you want scripture, I know you do, so let's turn to Hebrews 11:3. Glory to God, hallelujah. I hope you're stirred and excited today. And if you're not, I know you're going to leave here stirred and excited. Praise the Lord. Because Pastor Jeff's going to tell you that you are a superhero. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I love this. This is one of, I've always loved this scripture. You know, many of you know I used to have a frame shop. And when I had that frame shop, I even had this scripture posted on the wall. Amen. Praise the Lord. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, the things that were made were not made of things that were already made. They were made from a place of the supernatural. They were made outside of the natural. And so every single thing that we touch, everything that we are, everything that we taste, everything that we see, all things that we can experience have all been made from something that is not natural. It was made from the supernatural by the word of God, praise the Lord. But what does that mean for us? That means that everything that exists has its origin in the supernatural, in that place of the supernatural. So really, what we call the supernatural is really just the natural. It's not supernatural after all. It may be superior to our understanding of the natural, but that doesn't mean that we're any less connected from it. You take my children, for example. You take my beautiful daughter, Ezra, sitting here in front of me. Glory to God. My wife and I, she is a product of my wife and I creating her. Amen. We came together and made this beautiful girl, and she is a product of both my wife and I. There are times where we see me in her. There are times when we see my wife in her. We see traits of my wife's family in her. We see traits of my family in her. Glory to God. And so we understand that whenever something is made of something else, that it exhibits traits and it has part to do. Actually, the traits are bigger than we even think. You know, there's certain genetics that will tell us that traits are passed down from generation to generation. Now, we know that if it's a bad gene or a bad trait, that we can believe God and we can have that thing eradicated in our life, that we don't have to be held bondage to it. But we do know that things like, you know, hair color and eye color and all these things are passed down through your family lineage. And so we have to understand that when we trace things back to their origin, which is talked about right here in Hebrews 11:3, we have to understand that we are made of supernatural material, that we are made by a supernatural God who spoke forth and caused us to be. Amen. And so we're every bit as supernatural as God is, because I'm not saying we're God, but we are every bit as supernatural as God is, because we are made from his very likeness. We are made in his image. In fact, we know that in Genesis, if we go back there, that we were created in his image and in his likeness, amen? And that means that we were created from the same things, hallelujah. Because God, you cannot create something out of yourself. You cannot create something exempt from yourself. It is always going to have part of you in it, amen? Even Romans 1 tells us about that the attributes of God. In fact, we know attributes. When you think about my attributes, you're going to think about my really nice looking beard, or my perfect nose, glory to God, or my pretty eyes, hallelujah. You're going to be thinking about those are what attributes are. So we understand that when it talks about the attributes of God, amen, we can see them in creation. You can see the attributes of God in everything that exists, amen? And so everything that exists is supernatural in origin, glory to God. And so we need to return to that place of the knowledge that we are supernatural. I mean, now that doesn't mean that we're going to go out there and just start trying to fly, amen? Because, you know, just like a bird can fly, but we can't, glory to God, some things can fly and some things can't, amen? Just because you're supernatural doesn't mean you get to do everything. It doesn't mean that you can stop a speeding bullet, amen? Superman could do that, but the rest of us could not. He's my other favorite, praise the Lord. But, he could stop a speeding bullet, but we can't do that necessarily, praise the Lord, so we shouldn't try, amen? So we understand that supernatural doesn't necessarily mean that we transcend the laws of nature. So, but we do have to understand this when we're dealing with things. Now, when you think about things about like this coronavirus and stuff like that, all that stuff is it's a Oh, not an adaptation. It's a, what's the word I want? I'm looking to you for help. Manipulation of the natural. Yeah, it's a bad thing though. It's like a manipulation of the natural. It takes the natural. It's you know, the virus is a natural thing that has been manipulated and changed. It's the same thing with disease. We know that all kinds of diseases that affect body, cancer, for example. Cancer, I think, basically is cells multiplying and at a rapid rate, and which causes a tumor. And so we understand that cells are a good thing, but the manipulation of it is something that's not good. So we know that those things aren't of God, but the manipulation of it is. It's just like love and anything else that we have in life, we can experience in life. God has given us all these wonderful things. Actually, I got some revelation last night by a scripture I read. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't even know if I have time to go there, but I don't have time to explain it. But praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to really bad. But it's in Proverbs. If you listen to last night's message, you'll hear the scripture. And I explained it out more detail in last night's message. But it talks about anxiety in the heart of man. And the revelation I got is because, you know, we know that God has given us all of our senses in order to create something, in order to help us experience life. But yet the Bible tells us not to be anxious. And yet we have, that people have anxiety that comes on them. And the revelation I got even on the way home was because we understand that anxiety is supposed to drive us back to that place of safety, which is in God. And so if we know that, then we can understand this is the purpose for it. But anxiety used in the wrong way is not good. Anxiety to get you scared and into fear is not of God. But to bring you back to Him is a good thing. And so we see that we have these different, you know, how, why does it hurt when you get cut? Because if it didn't hurt, if you didn't have that sensation, then you could cut yourself really bad and end up dying. So God allowed us to feel pain for those types of reasons, you see. And so the same thing with anxiety. But God hasn't created anything in vain. He hasn't created anything that isn't supposed to be good. Amen? Glory to God. Now, we all know Romans 12, 2, and I just want to, I'm not going to pull it up, but that's what I would have you do if you were sitting here, just have pull it up. So just write it down and listen to me read it. We know Romans 12, 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our thinking must be transformed. We must allow it to be transformed. The reason that Christians, people that come to Christ, that come to a church, and they start having change in their life and end up not fully realizing that change is because they don't allow themselves to be transformed. They don't allow themselves to be transformed. The Bible says that you are going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to break this down for you and make you think about it. You think about any anxiety that you've had. You think about any fear that you've had. It is all based in a thought. First and foremost, it's the thought of what is going to happen. Amen? Even if somebody pulled out a gun at you, the thought is, I'm going to die. That's your thought, and that's why fear would come on you. But if you knew that you were completely protected and immune from bullets, that they couldn't hurt you, I'm not saying people are, but if you were that made that way, when somebody pulled out a gun, it wouldn't be even a thought to you because it would never cross your mind. So we understand that it's the thoughts that take us to certain places. And we know that if we go down the road of fear, we know what that can cause. I know of people that have gotten so encapsulated, engrossed, and gripped by fear that they can't even function in life. In fact, I was one of those people. There was a time where I couldn't barely even go out of my house, couldn't even barely leave the home because of fear that would come on me. I couldn't be in public. I wouldn't go to a mall or anything like that because I didn't want to be around people because of the absolute fear. And I can't, and it was all fear based in nothing. And I didn't know what it was. It was just there. But because I wasn't taught to not embrace it, I embraced the fear. And by embracing the fear, I went down a road that I didn't want to go. By embracing the fear, I went down a road that inhibited me and kept me from the things that God had for me. So even though I was free, even though I was set free, I wasn't living that way. And so that's the way a lot of Christians are, is that even though God has set them free, they don't allow their minds to be renewed by the word. In other words, when the word says something different than what they're feeling, they still stay with what they're feeling. They don't go with the word. And so the transformation in them never is fully realized. And this is why people go without the protection so often. This is why they go without the supernatural. They say, where is God? You haven't connected to God yet because you haven't allowed your mind to be transformed by the renewing of it. Amen. The renewing of the mind comes by the word of God, hearing and hearing the word. Romans 8:14, praise the Lord, or 8:17, I think, 10:17, somewhere around there, glory to God. But it's in Romans 10, 8 or 10. Just read both of those chapters, won't hurt you. Glory to God, and you'll find it. But the renewing of our mind is what transforms us, and renewing it by hearing the word of God. But you just hearing the word, and you know, Jesus said, take heed how you hear the word. It's not just a matter of hearing the word, but what he means by that is to hear the word and embrace it and say, this is the truth. This is my new truth. This is the word of God. And so this is how I conquer. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have been endeavoring to have a good attitude about this virus. And I know, just like you all know, that's not an easy thing to do. But I'm endeavoring to have a good attitude about it because I'm realizing that God has a plan. Not that the virus, again, was caused by God, but God has a plan to get us through it, to get us beyond it. And I believe that God is going to bring many more people to know him through this. And if nothing else, he's going to strengthen the ones that are already here. Now, I don't have this by any great revelation. I have this by the word of God, that we know that all things work together for the good to those who are called, to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, 28. Glory to God. I know we quote those scriptures a lot, but these are scriptures we need to hang on to, especially in times like this. Praise the Lord. God is for us. Amen. Our thinking must be transformed. We must allow it. It is his will that we live transformed. Praise the Lord. You can only live as you believe. I can't say that any better. You can only live as you believe. If you believe you are blessed, then you will be blessed. If you believe that you are cursed, you will live cursed. Again, my life is a great example of this. For years and years and years, I lived cursed. Everything I put my hands to was bad and was wrong and happened. All bad things happened. Why? Because I lived with that belief in me that everything that I was going to do was wrong. There is no faith in that. The just shall live by faith. If you want to be just in God's eyes, you must live by faith in his word, in his truth, that his truth is your truth. Amen. And if his truth is not your truth, if you say, I am not experienced in the word, then brothers and sisters, you need to connect more to it. And you say, well, how do I connect more to it? You start making those heart changes. You start making those decisions. I am going to follow the word no matter what. The word is my truth. There is no other truth to me. You start speaking that way. You start saying those things. Amen. Early on, when I was I was born again, but I was just barely born again. I got into this place where I was. I worked in this place where I was surrounded by this pseudo-Christian cult. Everybody that worked there was a pseudo-Christian. It was a member of this one pseudo-Christian cult, and I'm not going to give you any names, but its initials are Jehovah's Witness, and they they were the pseudo-Christian cult that were constantly working on me, trying to get me to believe what they were saying and the words that they were saying, and trying to say how my Bible was the same as their Bible, but theirs was a little bit better, and they had these extra things and all this stuff. And what were they doing? They didn't know they were trying to deceive me, because they themselves are deceived, but they were deceiving. They were working through the hands of the enemy, trying to bring deception into my life. And I remember saying at a very young age, and I didn't know very much about the Bible at all. Maybe John 3:16 was the only scripture I could quote. Praise the Lord. But maybe the beginning of Psalm 23, because that's the ones that everyone can. But, I said, I don't know. I remember saying to this one in particular as he was working on me, I said, I don't know everything in this Bible, but I know one thing for sure, and that everything in this Bible is true. And I don't even know. I must have been speaking by the inspiration of God. I don't even know how I knew to say that. But I said it, and I'll tell you folks that knowledge has changed my life. Just the fact that I said it there, I set things in motion by saying it and believing it. Jesus said that you will have whatsoever you say when what you say is what you believe. Yeah. Amen. He said you will have what you say when what you say is what you believe. Therefore, your life can be no more than the sum of what you believe. If you believe that your life is going to go terrible, then that's exactly what it's going to do. Amen. I am not saying there won't be opposition. You cannot say my life is going to be flowery beds of ease, rose petals and butterflies, and just think that's the way it's going to be, because Jesus already told us that that's not the truth either. Amen. He did not say that, but he said, don't lose heart. He said to be encouraged. He said, endure, praise the Lord. You know, in the one of the Timothys, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier. No, you know, when you endure hardness as a good soldier, you believe you're going to win. Amen. If you don't believe you're going to win, you're not going to endure hardness as a good soldier. You're going to either lay down or you're going to run for the hills. Amen. And so we know that we're going to win because the Bible says what we're going to win. Actually, in the book of Daniel, I was reading old time prophecy in Daniel 12, end time prophecy in Daniel 12. Glory to God. Talks about this time period in life. And in Daniel 12, 1, it tells us that the people of God will be protected. We will be protected. We already have our answer. Daniel told us thousands of years ago, praise the Lord, so we don't have to worry about it. We've been given the end from, we already know the outcome, amen? Amen. When you already know who's going to win the game, you watch the game a lot differently, don't you? Amen. You don't worry about the game. You don't get anxiety. You know that what's going to happen, amen? Praise the Lord. We recently watched a movie based on a real life event. And the real life event kind of ended in tragedy. And and when I was watching this movie, I was thinking, you know, at the time, you start to, well, I hope this person gets out of it. But then you know what the end is. So then the realization comes real quickly, but I know the end. So I know what's going to happen. Now, you know, you watch the movie for entertainment value to see what things transpired to get there. But it's the same thing with our lives. God has already given us the end. He's already told us what's going to happen. Now, there's events in the middle that are entertaining. And so that's what we need to be, is entertained by these things. Praise the Lord. This is a new revelation to me, even as I'm saying it, but I'm just telling you right now, be entertained by life. What I mean by that is I'm not saying that you sit there and make a joke of everything. I'm not saying that at all. But you allow it to entertain you. You see the devil trying, but you can be entertained knowing that he loses anyways. So it doesn't matter. Keep going, devil. You lose anyways. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. That makes me laugh. Hallelujah. That stirs me up. That keeps me going. The knowledge that he already loses. So no matter how big he can promote himself, no matter how big he can roar in your life, no matter, you know, the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion. He may be roaring in your life even today. Even when you go home, he may start roaring in your life, but you need to look at him and be entertained. Say, oh, that's good job. That's a good acting there, devil. Good acting. Yeah. Oh, you're the best actor, devil. Good job. You get a Grammy for it. But guess what? The Grammy doesn't mean nothing because it still doesn't get you in heaven, but it does get me in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm staying in the path that I'm on. Glory to God. You ain't stopping me. So I'm going into what God has for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. My life is supernatural, devil. Supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For as much power as he thinks he has, we have so much more power. We've been given the authority. Amen. But our thinking must be transformed. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. The only reason I'm stirred like this is because my mind has been transformed. Yeah. Because my life has been transformed by the word of God. I've allowed it to happen. You need to allow it to happen. You say, well, I'm not seeing that. You're not allowing it to happen. You say, well, how do I? You just accept the word as truth. When you just start accepting the word, listen, if people start trying to argue or trying to find out if the word is truth and just believe it is truth, guess what? It changes your life. Amen. Okay, there's been enough proof given to you. If you've been here more than 15 minutes, we've given you enough proof to God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need to just believe it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can only live as you believe. 2 Corinthians 6:17. I just want to pull it up again. Just going to have you not turn there for time, but just listen here. Write it down if you're taking notes, which you should be. Praise the Lord, because it'll help you later on. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. In other words, don't touch what they touch. Don't be like they are. Come out from them and be separate. Be different than the world is. The world, listen, you know what? The scripture makes it really easy to know what to do, even when you don't know what to do. You want me to help you with this? Praise the Lord. I'm gathering that everybody out there wants me to help them with it too. It's real easy. When the Bible says to come out from them and be separate, it's talking about the people of the world, not the people of God. Come out from among them and be separate. What you do is you look at what they're doing, you do the opposite. Yeah. When they attempt to get in fear, you just don't get in fear. You know you have no reason to fear. If they're all in fear, there's a reason they're in fear, and you know that you don't need to be. Amen. Now, again, that does not mean that we don't take wise precautions, because we also have wisdom. We all have brains, right? We all have the ability to look at something and say, hey, that sharp knife, that's sharp and it's dangerous, so I'm not going to sit on it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to, I'm not, there's a big, in that swimming pool. Have you ever seen a swimming pool that's been abandoned and full of garbage and nasty dead animals and stuff like that? You can look at that water and say, guess what? Now, wisdom tells me, no, don't swim in that. Now, everybody in the world probably is not going to swim in that either. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying when they're running, when they all of a sudden they're like, they want to drop everything because they don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. We still stay with the Lord. We can follow wisdom, and God will help us through it. Amen? So the first place we know, just do the opposite of what they do. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want to, what I'm promoting here today is that the natural and supernatural coexist. Hallelujah. That we don't have the natural. And the reason, one of the reasons that I've been on this so much lately is because the Lord has been dealing with me about how he created the natural things. And so as Christians of faith, sometimes we think that we live beyond the natural, that we don't. No, God is in the natural. He works in the natural, and we live and breathe. You know, the Bible tells us that we, according to, in him, we live and breathe and have our being. In other words, if God ceased to exist, we would cease to exist. People don't realize that they are upheld. You are protected by so many things. Even when you're not serving God, you have been protected from so many things just because of the goodness of God. Amen. Now, even though there's bad things that happen in the world, there's a lot worse things. Believe me. Listen, if there's really a devil, and let's just assume for a minute there is, if there's really a devil, imagine what he would do if he really could just have free reign. You know, that same devil is the one that inspired Hitler. You don't think that if the devil wasn't held back by something, that he wouldn't just go nuts, hog wild on everybody? Well, of course he would, but he's been held back. He's been held back and restrained by things. Now, there is an extent to which that because of God, the way he's created things, that God has to allow him to do his thing to an extent, praise the Lord, until God's people stand up and resist it. Hallelujah. But they have to be submitted to God first. Amen. All praise the Lord. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah is, it's interesting, I was led here to study this week, and I don't normally think of Jonah. Jonah's not a book I normally spend time in, but I got lots of notes in it, Jonah, this week. Amen, as I got in there and started studying. Now, we all know Jonah, you know, the story of Jonah, glory to God. Let's see, we're going to start a little bit later on, but in case you don't know the story of Jonah basically is this. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was one that God spoke to, and God sent Jonah to go to a specific city, and the city was called Nineveh, and the city was very wicked. It was very evil. If any of you watch VeggieTales, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But the city of Nineveh was very wicked, very evil, and Jonah didn't want to go. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us that Jonah did not want to go. And we can only assume that Jonah, for whatever reason, didn't like the Ninevites or whatever. He just didn't want to go. He didn't want to be there. Didn't want to be around them. We all know what this feels like. Amen? Going to a place we don't want to go to, or being around people that we don't want to be around. Amen? Anybody been to a family gathering? Amen? Sometimes there's people there that you don't want to be around. Amen? So Jonah didn't want to go, and he didn't want to warn them. But God told him to do it, and so God told him to go one way, and Jonah went the other way. And if you want to think about it like this, it's probably most of our lives. God tells us to do one thing, and we do exactly the opposite. Amen? But then Jonah was in a boat, and he was out there and going to Tarshish, right? He was going to Tarshish, and as he was on that boat, and there was a huge storm that kicked up because Jonah was being disobedient. And that storm was about to sink that entire boat. So your disobedience can cause hurt to other people. Absolutely. Don't think that it can't. Your disobedience can absolutely cause hurt to other people. Say, well, that's not fair. That's the way that it works. That's the way that it is. Listen, if your blessing is going to cause blessing to other people, then your hurt will also cause. Why? Because it is the opposite effect. And so God can't create one without the other. It's just like light and darkness. Darkness was not created by God, but because there's light, when I'm talking about evil or good and evil, because God created good, there has to be in free will, there has to be a choice for the opposite. Otherwise, it's not free will. So anyways, Jonah was on course to go to Tarshish. The storm kicked up and they all come to Jonah and say, everybody's praying to their God and none of their gods are answering. You better get up, sleeper, and pray to your God. And so Jonah gets up and he said, I don't even need to pray. I just know that why this is here. And he said, the way to end this storm is to throw me over into the water. Well, that doesn't sound very, but he knew what to do. He didn't have to be told. He knew what had to be done. He's like, I was disobedient. I know it. And I didn't want to be. And now I know this is right. You got to throw me over. So that's exactly what they did. When the storm didn't cease, they said, God, we're going to throw him over. They spoke to Jonah's God. They said, we're going to throw him over, but don't hold it against us. It's on him. Praise the Lord. And so they throw him over and immediately the storm ceased. And as Jonah's sitting there floating in the water, if you watch VeggieTales again, he's floating in the water thinking everything is grand and good. And then all of a sudden, a big fish comes up out of the ocean or the water and swallows Jonah whole, takes him down. And he spends 3 days in the belly of the fish. Amen? Glory to God. And so now with all that, Becca probably could have read all that in the same amount of time, but it was more fun saying it. Amen? Praise the Lord, narrating it my way, I guess. Praise the Lord. That's a joke, but. We're going to pick it up in Jonah 2:7. But the thing that I started realizing about Jonah when God led me to it, and it was interesting because, again, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time in Jonah, so I wasn't really thinking about Jonah. But the idea that God led me here and then pointed out about how much the natural and the supernatural works. You see, God could have gotten Jonah there various ways. He could have lifted up Jonah and carried him. Could have sent chariots driven by spiritual horses of fire and come in and picked him up and carried him away. An angel could have come and plucked him out of the boat. There's all kinds of things they could have done. But notice when you go through Scripture, when you see the events that God uses, he doesn't use things like that very often. In fact, most of the time when God does something, he uses a natural means, maybe manipulates it in such a way, but it's in a good way, but he uses natural means. Like the Israelites, it would have been just as dramatic to have chariots, spiritual chariots driven by angels to fly in and carry all the Israelites across the Red Sea. But no, he didn't do that. He took a natural approach, which he separated the Red Sea, amen? And so they went across as on dry land. Why? Because I think God was trying to show us something. Every time Jesus did something, he could have just waved his hand in front of people and healed them. The power of God was the same, but that's not what he did. He would touch them, or he would reach out, or he would do different things, command them. You know, the one man was commanded to go wash in a certain river. Who was that? The man... Yeah, no, I just think it has come to my mind. I know who it is, I just can't think of it right now. But Naaman, yes, Naaman. He was told to go, the leper, he was told to go wash a certain river. Yeah, God could have just as easily healed him by looking at him. God could have just as easily healed him by blowing wind over him or again, having an angel appear before him. We see angels in the Bible, but that's not what he did. He used natural means, amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This coronavirus is not God's means, but he will use it, and I believe he is using it. He's using it to call back people to him. He will use this adaptation or this manipulation of life. He will use this as an opportunity to draw people to him. Amen? Glory to God. And so God uses natural means. And he does that to show us that the natural means were created by a supernatural God. So we pick it up here in Jonah 2:7. Praise the Lord. And it says, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I have that highlighted, the salvation of the Lord. I have it highlighted in dark purple just so I always... My mind always comes to it. My eyes always go to it just to remind me if I ever flipping through here again. Glory to God. But let's go back to verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Now, we know that the word soul so often in the Bible is used for the word mind. It's also the word for the mind. And we understand that in times of trial, your mind is going to feel faint. You're going to feel weak. There's going to be things that will come against you that in life sometimes that will make you feel like you just can't do it. Amen? But what did Jonah point out here? Now, Jonah is saying this from being inside the belly of a fish. Now, a lot of people will say, listen, that's just impossible. Well, yeah, I know that's impossible, but if you look at the actual chance just naturally of this earth being here the way that it is, it's impossible. If you look at the possibility of humans being here, doing what we do and thinking the way we think and feeling the way we, it's impossible. So it's no more impossible for an impossible God to do impossible things, to put a guy in a, impossibly put a guy to a whale's belly or a fish's belly than it is to create the man in the first place or to create the fish in the first place. Amen? It's just, this is the way that it is. So it's not that hard to believe when you understand the supernatural, that the supernatural is the natural. And so even the manipulation, actually God has given us the ability to manipulate the natural. How do we know that? Because our words can move mountains. Jesus told us that, that if we speak to the mountain and we believe that it'll come, Mark 11:23, if we believe those things that we say and do not doubt, praise the Lord, he has said that as a matter of fact, the mountain will move. Amen. Jesus spoke to the sea and the sea stopped. Amen. The storm and the sea and the sea stopped. The storm stopped. Amen. And so we understand Jesus walked on water. Manipulate. Why was he showing us these things? Because we can do whatever is needed to be done. Amen. Within the bounds of this universe, because God has created the universe and he is the one who has decided it. Now, some of you, this might feel like this is really far-fetched. Good. This is your faith being built. This is that moment where you have the chance. I can believe or I cannot believe, but I can decide what I'm going to have. Do I connect to what God says or do I disconnect from it? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, people out there in the scientific world, sometimes they hate the idea that, you know, that we all came from one man. Amen? That the account of Adam and Eve, they don't like that account, but they'll believe that we came from one amoeba. Or something like that. They believe that we came from one kind of, you know, whatever. So it's not hard for God to do, praise the Lord, what God has done. And it's not unfathomable to believe it either. Amen? Glory to God. So when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When he was in that place of dire need, listen, that last time you were in the belly of a fish, you were thinking the same thing. Your soul was fainting, right? But you ain't ever been in the belly of a fish, but you have been metaphorically. There's been times in your life where you've thought, man, I am in dire straits. I am in a place that stinks right now. I am in a place where I don't breathe very good. I'm in a place that doesn't feel, that's cramped, that's secluded. What am I going to do? Anybody felt that just this last week? Amen. Glory to God. Our house has become even a big house. I'm so thankful I don't live in New York City in one of those 70 square foot apartments. And I'm not joking. I actually saw an apartment on YouTube, praise the Lord, in New York City that was 70 square feet. 70, that's 10 by 7. That's smaller than any room in my house. Amen, except for my closet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. It's just crazy. But I'm thankful I'm not there. Amen. I'm thankful. But you feel cramped and you feel like your soul's going to faint. You don't know what you're going to do. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You got to stir yourself up. You got to get into the Word. You got to remember the Lord. This is what gets us through these times, is remembering his goodness. You pull out stories like Jonah, not stories, accounts. You pull out the account of Jonah and you think, wait a minute, he came through from Jonah in a rough place. Even when Jonah, now listen, some of you, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I haven't been so good this week though. Yet Jonah wasn't so good either. He completely disobeyed a directive from God. God spoke to him. God hasn't spoke to you this week like he spoke to Jonah. Right? He came out and said openly to Jonah, Jonah, you go to Nineveh and help those people. And Jonah's like, no, I'm not going. I'm going to Tarshish. Maybe he didn't say it, but he said it by his actions. Amen. He did bad. He was in dire straits. He was in trouble. He was in trial. And the trial was created by his own doing. Yeah. But what did he say there? He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Yeah. And my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. What does this mean? What becomes an idol to a person is when they worship anything above God. Whenever you place something above God, in your life that has become an idol to you. Some people do it with their children. Some people do it with their spouse. Some people do it with their job. Some people do it with money. Some people do it with all kinds. But anything to you that is more important than following the directive of God has become a worthless idol. And why does it say this here? And this is the reason I brought this up, because I want to point this out to you. When it says those who regard worthless idols, in other words, those who grab onto their worthless idols, or those who pay attention or hold on to their worthless idols, they forsake their own mercy. In other words, they've given up their ability to win. When you grab onto that worthless idol, that thing that's keeping you, like I said, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a child, whether it be a job, whether it be money. Money is a big thing with the people of God. So many people are controlled by money. What do I mean by controlled by money? Well, God says to tithe, they're afraid of tithing. Why are they afraid of tithing? Because they haven't learned to trust God. When you trust God, you'll know to give because you know it comes back to you. You can't outgive God. Hallelujah. You know that you don't have to hold back. You know that you don't have to store up. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with having a few extra rolls of toilet paper, as we found out. Amen. Glory to God. Because you might be wiping with your socks, as our dear sister said. Praise the Lord. That might be what ends up happening. There's nothing wrong with storing up, but praise the Lord. There's also scriptural principles with putting out and doing what you're called to do. Amen. We're supposed to supply. Listen, you would think it's foolish to sit at home, glory to God, hallelujah, and have somebody living there and using all the using everything and never paying for it. It's just crazy to think that, isn't it? It's foolishness. You know, I'm talking about for a long-term thing. You know what I mean? And so the same thing is with God. When people, they resist the plan of God or resist what God is doing, they're acting like that person who just doesn't want to do anything. When Christians think that they can just, hey, I can show up to church, but I never have to do anything. I never have to go out and witness. I never have to build my faith. I never have to put to practice. I never have to read the word. I never have to pray. All these things. I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about all these things. All these things in life that we put aside. We grow whatever we've put them aside for, the things of God, glory to God, whatever we've put them aside for, we have now, that's become our idol, and that's what we worship. But Jonah says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Your salvation in this time of stress, in this time the devil tries to bring stress on you, because it shouldn't be a time of stress for Christians. It shouldn't be, not for a true Christian in faith. This should be just entertainment. Yeah, amen. This should all be entertainment. You know, it's funny. I'm still looking around the church like you're all sitting in here. Praise the Lord. I do miss you dearly, though. But glory to God, we'll be back together, and we definitely won't take it for granted when we come back together, will we? Praise the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord? We talk about trusting Him, but if you don't really, you don't know Him. If you don't trust God, you don't know Him. And so we talk about this all the time, and this is your key to, do you know God or not? Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him right now? Do you trust that God's going to see us through? Are you constantly filled with fear? If you're constantly filled with fear, you're not dealing with it right. And you're not dealing with it right on a few reasons. Number one, you don't trust God and you haven't gotten into the word enough, or you're not believing the word that you're reading. When God says He's going to come through for you, then that should be it. When God says that it's done, it should be done. I said plain and simple, it should be done. That's it. There's no other alternative to this. There is no other alternative to the word of God in my mind. This is what I have to live on. You know, when times of pressure really come on me, you know what the same point I always come to? Well, either it's true or it's not. And if it's not, I'm in a bad place anyways, right? It's over for my kind if it's not. So I have no choice but to believe. And so I just accept the belief. Why? Because that's the only thing. But you know what happens? Every time I accept the belief, I go through to the other side. Every single time. God hasn't failed me yet. And He's reminding us each and every step, each and every time. He's reminding us. He hasn't failed me. I've never put out so much and not had God repay me. I've never not been blessed by doing what God has called me to do. There's been moments where attack comes, and certainly that's there. But it doesn't last. It doesn't stand. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians. Remember how to find 1 Thessalonians. You find 2 Thessalonians, and it's right before it. Praise the Lord. I just heard Hayden giggle, even if she didn't. She's done it before, and I just think about that. Praise the Lord. You're one of the reasons I keep saying that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I always think of, you know, as I was preaching, like even last week, I was telling my sister Jennifer out there too, as I was preaching about, was it 2 Chronicles there, 7:20, and it was at 7:20, I think, and I thought of her, you know, because we've talked about that verse before. And so as I preach, as I minister, even though I can't see you, I still think about your faces and different interactions we have. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll be together soon. 1 Corinthians 5:23. Amen. We'll read through 24, both verses. Praise the Lord. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Everybody say preserved. Glory to God. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Amen. The God of peace himself is going to sanctify us, is continually sanctifying us. The God of peace. Think about that, folks. The God of peace. If he's our Father, then we have his DNA. And if we have his DNA, then we should be acting like our Father. And if he's the God of peace, and we're the people of peace, and we're the people of peace, we have no right being all stirred up. But you can be entertained. Amen. I said you can be entertained. You can sit back and look on the trouble. The Bible says that that's exactly what you do. You will simply look at the trouble, but it won't come near your tent. Amen. I said that you can simply look on the trouble. You'll look at people fighting. Be entertained. Remember back when I was a kid, there was a show that was real popular called Jerry Springer. If you've never seen it, don't go watching it. It's a bunch of garbage. But one of the reasons that it got so popular is because people were entertained by a bunch of people acting real stupid, fighting back and forth. And they were just thinking, everybody was watching it, was thinking the same. Well, there's two ways people were thinking they were watching it. Either you were the type of person that was thinking, man, I'd really like to be on that show. Or you're the type of person to say, man, I'm really glad I'm never going to be on that show. Amen. There's one or two people, and both of those kinds are out there. Amen. But for most of the sane world, you would look at that show and you'd think, man, I am glad that I am not on that show. Amen. Don't look up clips of it. Kids, don't get on YouTube and look up clips, even though you probably can. Don't do that because there's a bunch of garbage on it. But it was all about the entertainment, and that's what people watch it for, of people just acting absolutely crazy, nuts, and foolish. Amen. Well, that's exactly the way we can look at the world. We can be entertained by the devil trying to stir people, knowing that we can't be affected by it. That doesn't mean we don't have compassion on people. You know, you don't take what I'm saying wrong. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion on people and we don't treat people like they're foolish for not having faith. But what I'm saying is when the devil tries to ruffle our feathers, we just say, you're not ruffling our feathers. You're not moving my feathers. Like, this is a play. It's all over with. There's act one, act two, it's done. You know what I mean? It's all over with. We move on. We go to another show. Listen, there's nothing you can do that can ruffle my feathers. Just like that, this is exactly what the Bible says, that we're going to look at the devil and say, is this the one who shook the nations? Is this the one? This is the one? You're really, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. He's a joker. I want to read verse 24 in the Amplified, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the Amplified. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself and utterly trustworthy. And he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Amen. So he's going to make you holy, and he's going to make you, he's going to guard you. Do you trust God? Because if you trust God, this is exactly what's happening to you right now. You're being supernaturally protected. But see, if you don't recognize that there's a supernatural world, you'll never believe that. If you don't recognize that your God is a supernatural God, you'll never believe that. And if you don't recognize that you're supernatural because you're part of your God, you'll never believe that. You'll think that your flesh is just flesh, just like everybody else. And then when it dies, you have no hope, just like anybody else. But I'm going to tell you right now that you have all the hope in the world because you've got you got supernatural DNA on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close. I'm going to get close to closing here. Turn with me to Hosea 4:6. You know, I read more in Hosea 4:6. We bring up the scripture often, but I read more. We're going to read more today than we normally do. These are all the little ones in the back of the Old Testament. There we are. Ooh, you can skip over if you go too far. Hosea 4:6. And I just want to let you know, folks, that you have gotten knowledge today. You've gotten things that will carry you through any storm in life, any trial in life, anything that will come against you. I don't care what it is. The answer today is your answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. So right here in Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Notice that his people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of understanding of who God is, a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge of who they are, a lack of knowledge of what God has done for his church, and a lack of knowledge of what this church means to God. When I say this church means to God, I mean you and I and everybody else, praise the Lord, what we mean to God and what he was willing to do for it. He gave himself. You know, in Ephesians, it tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Praise the Lord. That tells us something. Romans 8:32 tells us that if he gave us Jesus, how much more would he give us all things? Praise God. Hallelujah. Freely give us all things. God is just looking to pour out. But see, if you don't have that knowledge, you can't connect to that knowledge. If you don't connect to that knowledge, you don't have it. Because the connection is not on God's end. The connection is on our end. Whether or not we're willing to receive who God is. And the way that we first receive who God is by receiving his word and saying, this is truth in my life. Amen. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Don't tell me that your kids aren't affected by what you do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I know we don't got people in here, but I heard the holy hush. I did. Amen. You could feel it. You know it's there. Amen. The holy hush telling you that, oh, something, ouch, hallelujah, something stepping on my toes. Yeah, that's true. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me, God said. Listen to this. I will change their glory into shame. Folks, this is America right now. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And their iniquity is their sin. And it shall be like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Wow. Amen. That word harlotry there literally means to be a whore. So God has called his people whores. That's literally what he's saying. They've been a whore. God's people are regarded as a spouse to the church. The church is God's bride. We have been prostituting ourselves as the people of God by giving in to everything that is around us, by giving up for everything, by loving our hairdryer so much that God forbid we do anything. You know what I mean? I'm talking about our extras, the things that we don't need. We love our extras. We love the, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with things like vacations and stuff like that. But when you love all this stuff more than God, when all this stuff in life, when you love doing and going and being part of everything other than what God has. Listen, I'm speaking to myself too. There's areas of myself that I've had corrected. One of the things I've been looking at this time is this stuff that I need. Is what I have something I need? Now, there is a difference between something that God's given you, but allow God to bring you things. But see, so many people are on the pursuit of things. Listen, there's a difference between allowing God to bless you and being on the pursuit of things. Look at your life. You know your life. Have you been pursuing things? Is that what your life been? I've been pursuing a job. You know, so many people spend so much time pursuing their careers that they have no life. We see people like that all the time. And we've seen in an instant your career can be gone. What does it mean? Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, if you have kids, or if you want to have kids, whatever, think about this. Think about these things. What you teach your kids, when you teach them that just pursuing life is more important than pursuing God, then when life is ripped out from under them, that you love life more than that, when it's ripped out from under them, they're looking around saying, just like the rest of the world, what do we have? We have nothing anymore. And they'll give it up. The church has been prostituting themselves. Praise God. And if you don't know what that means, well, praise the Lord for you. Ask your parents. Glory to God. But it's the truth. We have to stop doing this. We need to be serious about the things of God. We need to be serious about what we're doing for the Lord. We need to be serious about what God has for us in this time period. This is time for the people of God to come back and say, Lord, we are willing, able, and ready to serve you. We want to do what you want us to do. And I don't mean just by doing it in the church, but I mean, let's get a hunger for God like we never have. People talk about, we've even talked about revival in the park. There's no way we could have that. There's no way we could have that because people aren't hungry enough for it. Until people are starving, until they need God so much that there is nothing else in their life that can satisfy them, until they realize it. Folks, as you people that come to church and you guys that are tuning in, we love you all, but you need to ask yourselves, because I ask myself the same question. Is what I got going on more important than what God's got going on? You got to ask yourself that. Because if what you got going on is the bulk of your day, it's the bulk of your week, it's the bulk of your thoughts, you are prostituting yourself. You are being a church whore. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not saying that to be controversial, but that's exactly what you're doing. Because you are Christ's bride. He paid the price for you. Glory to God. God said he is coming back for a glorious church. Hallelujah. A bride without spot or blemish. Hallelujah. He doesn't want something that's been used, abused, and tossed around, sold into a prostitution. He wants something that is pure before him. Folks, we need to be pure before the Lord. We have to understand who we are. And we are not going to get that understanding when we're half in, half out. We're not going to get that understanding when God can have a bit of us, but everybody else can have a little bit of us too. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. We need to make sure that we're the bride that is pure before the Lord. If we want what God has for us, glory to God. Hallelujah. It's time, folks. It's time to decide. Are we all in or are we all out? Glory to God. I want to be all in. And I believe you do too. Amen. We'll close with this. Just Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. So if you're feeling bad right now, if you're saying, well, Pastor Jeff just stepped on my toes, just got good news for you. Just return to God. That's all you got to do. He'll abundantly pardon. He'll say, it doesn't matter. It's all over now. Now that you're here, praise the Lord. Just decide to be here. And decide, not like here physically, but just decide to be here with the Lord. You know what I mean? Just decide to be in that place. Amen. God's going to see his church through. We have supernatural DNA. This isn't going to stop us. Stop focusing on it. I said, listen, I speak this by the Spirit of God. This is not going to stop us. Stop focusing on it. This is not going to stop us. Stop focusing on it. Stop being worried about it. If you're worried about it, you're not listening. Stop being worried about it. If you're the church, you're going through to the other side. You need to start telling yourself, I'm the church, I'm going through to the other side. I've got God's DNA on the inside of me. I'm going through to the other side. Guess what? Coronavirus has no effect against the DNA of God. Hallelujah. So if you take upon yourself the DNA of God, if you saturate yourself with that knowledge, glory to God, hallelujah, you just like everybody else will be okay. Praise the Lord. Stop focusing on things that don't matter and start focusing on the one thing that does. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. And I pray this prayer, Lord. I reach out to you right now, Lord. If there's anybody by live stream within the sound of my voice, God, that does not know you, that does not know your ways, and Lord, I pray that they come to a saving knowledge of you, God. I pray that they come to a desire for you, Lord. I pray that in this time, Lord, that you speak to the hearts of those people who are astray, the hearts of those people who are out, that are committing harlotry, Lord, against you. Call them back into the house of the Lord. To those, Lord, who are out there that don't know you yet, God, call them. Send angels. Bring them into the house of the Lord. We'll be ready to receive them, Lord. Father, we thank you for this. And Lord, we know for too long, we know that too long, Lord, that we've had option to be in your house, in your presence, and we decided not to. But now, Lord, we get the message. When we can't come to the doors and they don't open for us, we get the message, Lord. We hear it loud and clear that you want a church that's serious about you. And so, Father, we come with all our hearts. We come with our whole heart, ready to receive what you have for us. And Lord, we do so going forward. We know that you have nothing but good things for your church. And so, Lord, if there's opposition, if there's trials, we understand that those things can't last, Lord. They'll only be for a time, but we get through it. We praise you and worship you and glorify you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for that, your precious Son. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us. And Lord, I thank you right now for each and every person that you've connected to this body. Lord, I thank you so dearly and so deeply for them. God, you know that I love them with all my heart. And Father, I pray for each and every one of them. I pray blessing, increase over their lives. I pray, Lord, that they continue to increase in the things of God, that even though, Lord, there may be opposition, different ones in different areas, Lord, that they come through this with the right heart, with the right attitude, Lord, full of you, fully embracing what you have for them. Father, we praise you and glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people shouted, amen. Hallelujah.